Blog Talk Radio.
Make sure some of we bless the little fool. Me a running out of the blessings are running down. Me a dead, 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 dead. Imagine cause I'm tossing out the cup of earth. I want to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. In my life, a pure peace and happiness. In my face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one-minded. I'm the one-minded to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed, and thank you for tuning in tonight. We have been studying trusting God in the midst of trouble, and our subtopic for tonight is do what God has called you to do. Do what God has called you to do. It's always so nice to study the Word of God together and to understand that God has great things in store for you, and He also has great things in store for me. Tonight will be looking at Ezekiel chapter 35 and Acts chapter 4. Just one verse in Ezekiel that I want to look at, and then we'll continue from there. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. We magnify your name. I thank you, Lord, tonight for this time of worship together, Lord, that we're able to study the Word of God together. I pray for those that are listening, Lord, whenever they hear this broadcast, whether it be morning, afternoon, or night. I pray that they will be blessed, O God. Remember that mother. Remember that father. Remember that child. God, you know everything about us, Lord, and you know our heart's desire. Remember, O God, that friend and that auntie and that grandmother, that uncle and that grandfather, Lord, that brother or that sister. Lord, you know everything. You understand our prayers. You understand our thoughts afar off. And Lord, we pray that you would truly touch right now. Move in a special way, O God. Remember the prayer requests that are going up before you, Lord. Those that are sick and looking and hungering for a touch from you, O God, I pray that you would touch right now. Move in the hearts and the minds of your people, O God. And help us to forever give you praise. Help us to forever give you honor, Lord, and glory. For you alone deserve the praise. And Father, I just say thanks to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As I stated before, I'm so glad that you have tuned in to this program. Today I got a chance to meet KT Sousa. I don't know if you're familiar with her ministry, but she wrote the Captivity series. Her ministry is called Expected End Ministries, and she travels and teaches about your expected end and the fact that great things, God has great things in store for you. And it was just interesting to listen to someone who had been through so much drugs, alcohol, and even imprisonment, and was able to come out and give God praise with her life and with her gifts. She even stated about the fact that she had no writing gifts and how God blessed her to be able to write books now and what have you. I want you to know, dear friend, that God has great things in store for you, and whatever your gifts are, you can use it for God's glory and God's honor. it was such a privilege to meet Katie Sousa today, Expected in Ministries, and her book that she has written, Captivity Series, that goes all over the world and into several countries. If you would turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 26, Ezekiel chapter 26, the Bible says, "And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing." This morning, as I was doing morning devotion with my workers, I turned to this scripture that was associated with the hymn, Showers of Blessing. And as I began to reflect upon this scripture, the thought came to me that God has so many blessings in store for us. And he said that he would cause the shower to come down in his season. In other words, what he has in store for us, it will come to us in God's good timing, and we should not be afraid to trust him, because in his timing, in his season, he will cause the blessing to come to us and to overflow over us. And the verse says, there shall be showers of blessing. What that entails to me is that the blessings that God has in store for us are not just trickles of blessing. It is an abundance of blessing that God has in store for us. And when we look to God, we should expect for God to do something great in our lives. I want to know, dear friend, what is the level of your expectation? What do you expect God to do? Because what you expect God to do is what he is going to do in your life. The Bible says there shall be showers of blessing, signifying that God truly has great things. He has a lot to give. But if we expect little, we will get little. But if we expect much, then we will receive much. And so, dear friend, I want to encourage you that when you have your basket upturned, ready to receive a blessing from God, you must expect that God is going to fill that basket up, and that basket is going to be overflowing, because if that's what you expect, then that's what God is going to do. Ask God to increase your faith. Ask God to help you to truly believe that he is able to do miraculous things, because this is your season to be blessed. I don't know who's receiving this word, but I pray that if this word is for you, that you will just receive it and run with it and understand that your season to be blessed is right now, that God wants you to latch on to that faith for your healing, and that faith for your deliverance, and that faith for your financial blessing, and that faith for your emotional healing. Whatever it is that you need God to do, he is ready and willing to do it right now. And so, dear friend, I want you to be ready for your showers of blessing, because God truly wants to use you. And all he wants to know is, are you ready to be used? Because he is waiting on you to do what you were called to do, to truly do what you were called to do. You see, the early church, as we have been studying the book of Acts, and we're actually getting ready to continue in Acts chapter 4, the early church knew what they were called to do. They were actually commissioned to go out and tell the world about Jesus. And dear friend, I want you to ask God what it is that you were called to do. What is his purpose and his plan for your life? And understand that he has showers of blessing just for you. Just for you. Even if there's somebody standing to your right or to your left or in front of you or behind you, it does not matter. God has blessings just for you. And whatever he has for those other people, they'll get it. But he has blessings just for you. And I just love that word, shower. I really do. Because when you're in the shower, if it's in the bathroom, it's gushing water. If you're out in a downpour of rain, it's gushing water. It is not just a trickle. A shower is gushing water. In other words, God wants to overwhelm us with blessings. He wants to overwhelm us with his love. He wants to overwhelm us with his joy. And dear friend, I want to encourage you to allow God to do what he wants to do in your life. Expect him to do something great, and you will be overjoyed with the result, because God truly wants to utilize your skills. He wants to utilize your speech and your hands and your feet. He wants to use you for his glory, but he's waiting on you to actually allow him to use you, actually allow him to speak through you, in you and through you. Dear friend, God loves you very much. He cares about you. And I want you to know that it is now time to do what God has called you to do. Turn with me again to Acts chapter 4. The Bible says, "In that day spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men were about 5,000. Amazing. Just amazing. Peter and John, just two men, not a big entourage in a crusade, two men out doing the work of God. And the Bible tells us that they were taken into custody. In other words, where they were preaching, the people were unhappy with the fact that they were in their town preaching. And if you recall at the beginning of this, that you know, they had just gone into, let me go back to number 2, Acts chapter 2, remember when they went into Jerusalem and they waited, they got filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they went off in different directions, ready to preach the gospel. And the Bible tells us that they traveled, you know, in all types of little towns, and in every town that they went to, they healed people. They healed many. And the funny thing is that although many people were happy that they were healing, you also had a group that were unhappy about the fact that they were healing many. And so you just can't please everyone. And so why try to please everyone? Just do what God is calling you to do. Because you're never, ever going to please everyone around you. And so we see in Acts chapter 4 that they were once again preaching. And they arrested them. They held on to them. And the Sadducees got angry at the fact that they were preaching about the resurrection. Now, if you're a Bible scholar, you understand that there were the Pharisees and they were the Sadducees. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection and of the dead and what have you. But the Sadducees didn't. They didn't believe that people could rise from the dead. And so they were angry that they were teaching this about Jesus rising from the dead, because they didn't believe in spirits or anything like that. So the Bible says in verse 3 that they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day. So they got them, threw them into jail, and held on to them till the next day, because it was evening. And of course, in the evening, it gets dark, and they could not have done much because the council was not in session. Look at verse 5. It says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Ananias the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together of Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. So the Bible tells us that the next morning, after they had held on to Peter and John, then they brought them before the high priest and their brethren and all of those people who were associated with the high priest, and they asked them, by whose power? Who told you you could heal this man? And Peter, once again, being the bold one, filled with the Holy Spirit, began to preach to them and to ask them, why would you ask us about this good deed that was done unto this man? You would think that this man had been by the gate begging for years, by the gate beautiful. You would think that anyone who would see him healed would be so happy for him that they would not care who healed him. But because the high priest and those associated with them knew that they had something to lose, they decided to question Peter and John as to why or who told them that they could heal this man. Okay, verse 10. Look at verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. So Peter once again began to preach to the high priest and to these folks. Now remember, they had just finished preaching to some folks who came to inquire about this man being healed. And the Bible says they believed what they said about Jesus, and about 5,000 of them believed. Isn't that a wonderful thing, to have 5,000 people at one time believe? And the Bible says that when they said that, look at verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And so Caiaphas and Ananias, or actually Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, they were learned, because during those days, it was really the priests and people of that nature that were educated. The common folk, many of the common folk, were not educated. They were actually illiterate, and they depended on the scholars and those who were well-learned to teach them. And so when Peter and John stood before them, they were speaking very wisely, and they were speaking very knowledgeable about the scriptures. And so the high priest and these men were surprised. Why would they have such knowledge when, in fact, they should not have much education? How could they speak so with such proper understanding of the scripture? But, dear friend, I am pro-education. I'm an educator myself. But I want you to know that let no man frown upon you when it comes to the Word of God. make your boast in Jesus. Study the scriptures. Get to know the scriptures. And even if you only have a high school diploma or less than a high school diploma or a little bit of college, you are still qualified to open up your mouth and tell somebody about Jesus. And this is what these men were doing. Although they were not as educated as the high priest, they were still able to go out and boldly declare that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ did die on the cross and rise from the dead. They were able to boldly speak the things of God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was with them. God himself was with them, and they were able to speak. Look at verse 14. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. How can you speak against something that is obvious, something that is factual? After they saw the man who was just healed standing with them, they had to close their mouth. They couldn't speak against it. I want you to know, dear friend, that there are people who will try to speak against you and try to say all manner of things about you. But when God blesses you, when he anoints you, when he chooses to use you, no one can stop you, block you, curse you, or anything. Why? Because when the hand of God is upon you, you will be successful in anything that you do. Look at verse 15. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Dear friend, we have to speak and do the things that we have heard, that we have seen, that God has told us to do. Peter and John declared unto them that they couldn't do anything less than what God had called them to do. Dear friend, I don't know what level you are as far as your faith in God, but I want to encourage you to not do less than what God has called you to do. Whatever God has called you to do, this is what you need to do. Don't hesitate to listen to the voice of God. Don't hesitate to do the work that God is calling you to do, because if he has already given it to you in dreams, in visions, in prophetic words, if he has already given it to you in your spirit, where you can feel in your spirit what God is telling you to do, go ahead and do it. If he wants you to start a business, if he wants you to start a company, an organization, if he wants you to write books, if he wants you to make CDs, if he wants you to go visit someone who is sick at the hospital or visit someone who is sick at their home or bring someone food, whatever it is that God is calling you to do, by all means, don't hesitate, dear friend. Do what God is calling you to do. These men were not well-learned. In other words, they were not well-educated, but they knew that God had called them. They knew that Jesus was truly the resurrected Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and they did not hesitate to do what God was calling them to do. Dear friend, be bold. Step out in faith. Do what God is calling you to do. If you know that he has touched your heart and he has given you a word, a message for someone, go tell them. Don't sit back and hesitate, but do what God is calling you to do. Look at verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. There are times in your life, dear friend, where others might want to mock you, insult you, treat you bad, and there are times when God will not allow that. These men wanted to hurt them, to punish them, and back in those days, they would flog them. They would beat them and then release them. but not even that at this particular time could they do, because it was not God's will for them to go through that. You see, if it is not God's will for you to go through an experience, you will not go through it. But I want you to truly understand what God is doing here. I want you to truly understand that these men were being led by the Spirit of God. Dear friend, don't jump out and do anything on your own, but pray about it. Seek the face of God about it and let him direct you. Let him give you the right words to say to people. Let him give you the right attitude towards what you need to get done. Don't hesitate to do what God is calling you to do. For it is the will of God that you should be victorious. It is the will of God that you will be blessed. And dear friend, I want you to continue doing the work of God. Don't hesitate to do what you are called to do. Look at verse 22. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. All that in them is. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And the kings of the earth stood up and rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold your threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Friend, I want you to notice that even though they were threatened, they continued to preach the word of God. Even though people threatened to do all manner of things to them, they still continued to do the work of God. Don't allow situations and negative circumstances to stop you from preaching the word of God. Look at verse 27. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Notice that before they went on to do anything else, they prayed. Prayer is the key to your victory. Prayer is the key to your work being established, for you to be able to continue doing the ministry that God has called you to do. Prayer is the key to your breakthrough. Prayer is the key to your deliverance. Prayer is the key to your anointing. Prayer is the key for you to be able to impart knowledge to other folks. Prayer is the key for you to be able to teach others about the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't do anything, dear friend, without prayer, because God truly wants to bless you. He truly wants to use you for his glory and his honor. But I can't emphasize enough the need for prayer, the need to seek God's face and to hear his voice and to hear that still small uttering telling you and giving you direction, giving you instructions. You cannot move forward without instructions from God, without him speaking to you and directing you. You know, I've been praying because I've got so many things that I've been seeking God about accomplishing, such as writing books and, you know, getting a praise CD out and, you know, different things that I'm trying to do. And even today when I met with Miss Katie Sousa and her team, one of her team members looked at me, actually called me out of my office because I had already left the room, and said to me that she saw the Lord increasing what I was doing. And she saw me with an umbrella going up, and it seemed as if I had several ministries underneath that ministry. And so I told her about the radio program, and she says, okay, well, you know, that might have been one of the things that I saw in the spirit realm, that I saw you doing more. And that is exactly the desire of my heart, to do more for God, to be able to tell more people about Jesus, to be able to encourage more people to serve the Lord. And dear friend, what is your desire? What is your goal? Do you, or are you doing what God has called you to do? Do you feel him drawing and tugging on your heart? Do you feel him drawing you back into prayer? Do you feel him drawing you back into the Word of God and back into doing intercessory prayer? Recently, God is drawing me back to intercessory prayer. I started as an intercessor, and I believe that once again God is anointing me and telling me that I must spend not just minutes but hours in prayer. It is something on my heart to just begin to pray again and begin to seek God at a deeper level. Dear friend, I don't know where you are in your faith walk with God, but I want to encourage you to not just stop where you are, but I want to encourage you to get a deeper understanding of the Word of God, to get a deeper understanding of who Jesus is, to get a closer walk with Jesus, and for him to refresh you, for him to give you that undergirding and that renewal that you need to truly walk as an anointed, powerful, and victorious Christian, messenger, prophet, teacher. I want you to make it your business to not just stop, but to continue on. You see, when we stop and we become complacent in who we are in Christ, gradually we begin to deteriorate in our walk. But when you make up your mind to steadily make progress, whether it be in writing books or in singing or in just studying the Word of God and being able to encourage the baker, the banker, the lawyer, the teacher, whoever you encounter, just being able to encourage other people. Dear friend, sometimes I have to encourage myself, and I'm sure you have had to encourage yourself also. And so, you know, if you have ever had to sit there and just encourage yourself and just push yourself to go, you know that when someone comes with an encouraging word for you, it is such a blessing. Dear friend, why don't you be the one to encourage someone else? Why don't you be the one to open up your heart and ask God to use you for his glory and for his honor? God wants to do that right now. He wants to bless you. He wants to help you to truly be that man or that woman that he is calling you to be. Let's finish up chapter 4. Look at verse 32. It says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." And Hoseas, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So we see that part of the mark of holiness or the mark of a mature Christian is being able to get along with other Christians and to be of one heart and one mind with them. It is a blessing to know that Christian people can get along. And if you are hanging around with Christian people who cannot get along with each other, dear friend, I suggest that you back away from those folks, because wherever you read in the Bible, you will see that it is common for the Christians to be of one mind, one heart, and to share their goods. And so I want to encourage you, dear friend, to allow God to bless you, allow him to use you for his glory, for his honor. We're going to continue in chapter 5 another time, but I want you to know that this is your time to speak to God, to talk to God, and to ask God to give you the right attitude, to give you the right attitude towards life, towards ministry, towards serving God, and to help you to pray just a little bit more. I don't know about you, dear friend, but I need to pray more. I need to seek God more, and I want to encourage you to do the same. On yesterday, I was listening to Joel Osteen. Every once in a while, I get a chance to catch Joel Osteen, or rather, I listen to him teach, because quite frankly, most of the time, I'm on the computer, and I have the TV on in another room, and I'm listening to the preaching and the teaching of various ministries. Well, Joel Osteen likes to tell stories, and a story that he told on yesterday was about a surgeon who was busy at work all day working, and who was frustrated because he would come home very, very tired, and he did not really want to help with his young children when he got home, and he would actually complain about working all day and having to come home to help with the children and what have you. And so his dear wife, you know, she really felt bad because he would come home and his attitude was not the best. Well, one day, after having rushed through an appointment with an elderly lady, a senior, the patient paused and said, "Doctor, you look tired." And the doctor stopped what he was doing and he looked at her and he says, "Yes, I am." He began to tell her how he could not wait to get through this season of his life. And he looked at her and says, "Well, you know, I'm sorry to be talking to you like that. I should be asking you how you're doing, because you're the one who just lost your husband." And so the woman looked at him, and the senior looked at him and said, "Well, actually, I'm fine, you know." And she looked at the doctor and she said, "I wish I could have that season of life again that you're trying to rush through. I would love to hear the pitter-patter of my children's feet again. I would love to be awakened in the middle of the night and have to take them in my lap and rock them back to sleep. I would love to hear them, you know, arguing with each other again and I have to go and break up the fight and what have you. I would love to, you know." And she just went on and on about the things that she would like, you know, about being able to tuck them in at night and what have you. And after this elderly lady left his office and he thought about it, he he realized, the doctor realized that he did not have the right attitude. Here he was complaining about this season of his life. He was a surgeon, was making good money, had a good home, had a wife, beautiful children. And he was complaining about going home and having to help with these children. And here was an elderly woman that wished she could have all of that again. Well, after he thought about it, he went home and he began to take joy in doing all those things that he had previously complained about. You see, dear friend, life is about your attitude and how you view it. You can complain about it, or you can live life to its fullest and allow God to use you for his glory. And Joel Osteen also said something like this. He said, time can be used or misused. Time can be invested or wasted. Dear friend, what kind of time do you have? Are you using it wisely or are you misusing it? Are you investing it or are you wasting it? What are you doing with your time? God wants you to use your time wisely. And dear friend, I want to encourage you, don't waste your time. Use it. Use it to be a blessing in the kingdom. Allow God to manifest himself to you, whether it be in little things or in large things, because once you learn to appreciate the little things that God does for you, you will certainly appreciate the big things that he will do in your life. I want you to know that over and over again, you will hear me say how much God loves you, because he does. You're not alone in this world. You will never be alone in this world. God is with you. He sent his angels to stand guard around you, to help you in your personal life, in your public life. God is there to help you. Don't be discouraged, dear friend, but realize this, that this life that you have been given, it's not a wasted life. It's not to be used carelessly, but the life that you have been given has a purpose and a plan. God has great things in store for you, and I want you to allow him to speak to your heart, to speak to your mind, and understand this, that Jesus died on the cross for you, and if you were the only one, he would have still gone to the cross. Our key verse for these lessons is Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Dear friend, I want to encourage you to allow Jesus to live in and through your heart. If you have not asked Jesus into your heart as yet, ask him to forgive you. Ask him to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, that you shall be saved. I just want you to know that today is your day. Now is the acceptable time. Don't tarry. Don't wait. But today is the day to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Amen and amen. Our closing thoughts for each lesson is persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There is no such thing as can't. And what you believe, you can achieve. What do you believe in God for, friend? What is it that you need him to do in your life? And what is it that you want to do for him? God will hear and answer prayers. Let us pray right now. Dear Lord, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. We magnify you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, because you're truly wonderful. I thank you, Lord God, because you hear, you answer prayers. And Lord God, I thank you for our time of fellowship that we're able to have throughout the week. And I pray that on weekends that my dear friends have found a church to fellowship in. I pray, Lord God, for all those that are hearing this for the first time, that they will be blessed. I pray that you would stir up in their belly, oh God, that desire to pray, that desire to see people heal, that desire to see people delivered. I pray, oh God, that you would stir up in my spirit, oh God, that desire to do more for you, Lord. And I just bless you right now. I just praise you, Lord, because you are truly wonderful. You're gracious towards me and gracious towards people around the world, oh God. We pray, oh God, that folks, men, women, and children around the world, oh God, will truly turn their hearts over to you. Oh go asate ke te sate mose te kosita hiki debati di di dasi uitibati rossi di di sa utate siki utate si ito rita usate ke tita si uto sa hase kuto se heke bojita usaka osite hesita osete hisata ose ibosutu use hikito to usikite ato kutsiketa atashi tuse etashi oto masito ekitashi. Lord, I bless you. I praise you. I honor you, Jesus. Bless your people in Asia. Oh God, over in Africa. Oh God, in Japan, China. Lord, in Europe. Oh God, the European countries in Ireland, Scotland. Oh God, all over the world, Jesus. In the Caribbean islands. Oh God, in Central America. Lord, in Spain. In Germany. Lord, in Russia. God, in the Middle East, in Iraq. Oh Lord, in Israel. God, in Syria, Afghanistan. And oh Father, even countries that I have not named and don't even know the names of those countries. Myanmar, God. Oh, Lord. Liberia and different places, God. Bless, God. Touch. God, and we thank you for your touch. We thank you for your touch. Oh, God, heal those that need to be healed. Heal minds, heal bodies. I speak against lupus right now. Oh, God, it's against cancerous tumors right now. Oh, God, someone with cancer is being healed right now. Someone with lupus is being healed right now. Someone with AIDS is being healed right now. Someone with a neck pain is being healed right now. Someone with an earache is being healed right now. Oh, God, in their left ear. And I thank you for that healing right now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And amen. I pray, dear friend, that you realize that this is your season to be blessed, that God has great things in store for you. And I want you to know that you don't ever need to give up, dear friend, because the victory is ahead of you. The victory is ahead of you. And I just want to remind you tonight that God is real.
Can't go, but there's one thing, yeah.
Praise the Lord. Dear friend, I've enjoyed teaching you tonight. This is Evangelist Faith Reed. Your show is called Vision. Vision. Please join me for Vision on another evening. I usually on the ear Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, and lately I've also been on the ear on Wednesday evenings. So God bless you, dear friend. Have a good evening. Share this message with all your friends that Jesus loves them and that this is their season to be blessed.
Make the summer we bless till we fool. Me a running out of the blessings are running down. Me a dead, dead, dead. Imagine cause I'm dying. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
This music is courtesy of Second Chance Ministries out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be straight. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one-minded. I'm the one-minded to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed. Yo, let me breathe. Hey, let me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes later, the storm start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place, I shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place, me hot. Like Jamaican pan food in a Dutch pot. I'm from the news, and the devil can't touch that. Tell Satan to get back. And I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be disappointed. Sing it out, I'm too blessed to be stressed. I tell them I'm blessed. Jesus, yes, Him can solve them one by one. We bag and expose them. So when Satan are moving at your own, we not to worry, cause we know how to get him out. Bring the blood of Jesus Christ out of your mouth. And the one Satan him a forget out. Just on your knowledge, no life in the darkness. And your life is filled with happiness. And from the notes, the devil can't touch this. Everybody come bring this. Say I'm too blessed to be stressed. Too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed.
Bless, 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 bless